Two things about our text today before I read it. It's long again, isn't it? So let's sit down. The second thing is you'll notice just after the text, there's no hymn number. So you'll need to look at the board and da-da-da, 666. So just, that is the correct hymn afterwards, Carlene?
Sure.
Oh, so that's the one we're going with. We're going to go with hymn number 666 because it's up here on the board. I assume that's the right one. Is that right? Okay, so we're going to go with that one. So there you go. I'm going to read this text now. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sisters, of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sisters, Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." And Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead woman, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what Jesus did and believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. So today we're going to talk about death. It's a funny thing, really, in the church. We talk a lot about stories about miracles that Jesus did. We talk a lot about a lot of different things, right? Our gospels are based on things that Jesus did. So we're always hearing these great stories about Jesus. But it's funny, we don't talk about death very much in the church. Easter is about resurrection. It's not about death. It's conquering death. That's a good day. Maundy Thursday, we focus on the death. Arguably, Good Friday, Palm Sunday, we kind of start to point towards that. But during the rest of the year, we really don't talk about death in the church very much. You know, it's funny because we hold the words of eternal life in the church. We should be telling people all the time, we've got an answer for death. We should talk about it in the church. We should be saying some things to each other about what death is and what means to us as Christian people. I love the text today, all three of them, because they do something really amazing. First of all, it's foreshadowing. There is an event coming in just a couple weeks that echoes this event of someone being raised from the dead. I don't want to give it away. You'll have to read your Bible if you want to find out before Easter Sunday what's going to happen. But there's this way that the three texts kind of connect together very nicely. This first text from Ezekiel, he saw the wheels. Ezekiel saw the wheels. Anyways, apparently he's walking around and they're in this valley of dry bones. Dry bones. And the person asks him, can these bones live again? Is it possible? And he goes, I don't know. You would know. How would I know? And the voice says to him, what? Prophesy to these bones. Talk to them. And they start to gain flesh and sinews. And then pretty soon they hear the rattling. The bones coming together. This is almost a Halloween text, isn't it? It's kind of scary. And the bones come together. And then skin is on the bones. And there's still not really anything special until its life is really breathed into them. But it takes what we assume is Ezekiel, right, being talked to talk to these bones. Talk to those dry bones, and they'll rise again. And then we have, so there's this way that we hear about the flesh, and the flesh is going on the bones, and we hear this great story. And the very next text in Romans tells us what about the flesh? Don't be in love with the flesh. But isn't that what's happening in the first text? Well, not really. The flesh is coming back on to do something, but in the next text, it's this, don't be in love with the flesh. That's not the point. What is the point in that second text? It's not the flesh, it's the spirit. Let's all say it together. It's the spirit. There we go. I felt it. Right? So in the second text, we hear what the point is of the flesh being on the bones. What's the point? It's the spirit. It's a chance for the spirit to be working through that flesh, through those bones. To go to be with people, to do things. And then finally we get to our, our text today about Lazarus. This wonderful text that foreshadows for us. And it's really odd because we've heard the story about Jesus and the bread on the mountain. And Jesus proves that he is the bread of life by providing bread for everybody there, feeding of the 5,000. And again, we talked about how Jesus proves again that he is the light of the world by opening the eyes of the blind man. And now he proves he is the resurrection and the life because he raises Lazarus from the dead. That's really incredible stuff. And it scares the people who are in power. The part of this text that you don't see is what's coming just after this, where they all go, "Did you see that? He just raised a guy from the dead." And they're not amazed by that, but what they're afraid of is that everybody's believing in him. And that's the point at which they start to plot about how they're going to kill Jesus for this gift of life that is given to Lazarus. This foreshadowing of the gift of life for us. But there's this way that the text connects all these things together and helps us think about everlasting life. What is that? What is this eternal life that God gives us all, this answer to death that scares so many people? We're a funny society. We don't talk a lot, really, about death. We even have shows about the walking dead as entertainment. But we don't talk about death very much. And what the answer is for us as Christians to death, which is eternal life, a gift from God through Jesus Christ. We don't talk about that much in our society. We dwell on strange aspects. We like to do anything that keeps our mind off of death. That's really why we do most everything we do. It's like, I think I'm going to go golfing today. I get my mind off of stuff. But it's a reality that we have, as a community, a Christian community, the answer to, that we might tell each other all the time. And with that in mind, we go back and revisit our first text again. And that idea of dry bones. There are dry bones everywhere you look. Right now, in Belvedere, there are dry bones. There are bones out there who have never heard the gospel. They're dying of thirst. They're dry bones. And they're waiting for someone to come and tell them about this one that quenches your thirst like no other. That's our call as the church. If we were dry bones and have heard the word and our bodies are here again and we've had spirit put back into us, what is our purpose but to tell the rest of the dry bones? We have the answer right here. That's what the Christian community does. It goes out into the world, not just Belvedere, not just Rockford, not just the United States, the whole world. There are dry bones everywhere we go that's dying for living water. And we carry that living water inside of us. And our call as a Christian community is to be that living water, to take that to those dry bones and to let them know that there's something other than just death. It is eternal life with God through our Savior Jesus Christ. So we should go out from this place today and seek dry bones. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this text today that reminds us that Christ is the answer. It is the answer to all of our questions in life. Christ, the living water, quenches our thirst, all of us who are dry bones. God, help us to take that living water to all who we see. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we continue with our service. Please rise as you are able.